Okay, this week's parasha in Eretz Yisrael is Parashas Korach. Those of you that are in Chutz Arts, which is probably most of you, you could either listen this week anyway, or you could wait till next week. So we know the parasha begins with the rebellion of Korach, and Dalton and Aviram, and 250 Nisi Eda. So Kli Yakar tells us that the people that joined Korach's rebellion were people who were Mori Levov. They're embittered. They wanted more kavod, more authority, and they thought that by joining Korach, they'll have the privilege of getting more honor amongst the Jewish people, and they'll be able to help Korach in his rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. You see that gaiva and the search for kavod, as it says in the Mishnah in Avos, hakina v'taiva v'kavod motzinas adam min olam. If you're seeking kavod, you can't think straight. You're going to follow somebody who's very successful, but not anybody who's ever been appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very difficult to understand how a person could make such a foolish mistake, but when you are working with somebody's personal kavod and the potential of gaining honor, so then it's very likely a person won't think straight. The Gemara in Sota and Daf Hei and Aleph tells us that somebody who has the midah of gaiva will not be zoiche to tchias hamesim. Based on the pasuk, it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, hakitzu v'ranu shochne ofer, wake up and exalt those who are shochen, which could be translated as reside in the ofer, in the dirt. And the Gemara tells us, shochne ba'ofer lo nevar. Let's say people who lie in the dirt, in the dust. Rather, el shochne ofer. What does it mean, shochne ofer? Mishinase shochin la ofer b'chayev. Somebody who becomes a neighbor to the dust, to the dirt in his life. Anybody who becomes a neighbor to the dirt in their life. Meaning, somebody who's not a baal gaiva, somebody who doesn't think the world revolves around them, somebody who doesn't think that they have to be in the spotlight, whether it's in their learning, they want to say the biggest shir, they want to have the most talmidim, or in business, they want to make the most money, they want to have their names on the big buildings, they want to be the most important person in the community, they need to be known to be the most important person in the community, etc. And here, Rav Zilberstein says, and it's quoted, and this is a new sefer that I recently got, it's from written by Rav Eliyahu Nochum, but it's based on what the Divrei Torah of Rav Zilberstein Shlita. So he brings down over here that, which is also a very common, commonly studied topic in business school, and that is the ways of a good and successful CEO. And he quotes that they investigated 1,435 companies. They, analyzed 1,435 companies that were successful over a 15-year period, and it was very clear that the common denominator amongst these companies that were most successful was that the executive directors, the CEOs, the presidents of the companies, had the midah of anava, and humility. And they weren't about, oh, how can I be successful? How can I take this company and use this company as a way of getting honor? But rather, their focus was on the products, the people in the company, what the company was doing, and it was very clear that that was a defining characteristic of the successful companies as opposed to other companies. And based on the research that was done, any company that the leader of that company was focusing on building an empire and making sure that making decisions based upon what would make him look better and so on, ultimately those companies fell very clear and apparent that was the case because what happens is if it's all about how you're going the individual person is going to be perceived, so then you don't have proper shikul das, you don't have a proper train of thought, you're not able to make decisions objectively. It becomes totally subjective because it's all about you and how people are going to perceive you and how the company is going to affect your image in a positive or negative way. And it's clear that anybody who acts with anava, any leader of a company, who first of all, people in the company respect that type of person, they will work hard for that type of person. And additionally, as I mentioned before, the decisions that the leader makes, if he's not about, it's not all about him, but it's about the company in general, he's able to make a much more well-rounded decision. If you want a marmokum for this, I think it was written in the Harvard Business Review called Level 5 Leader. It's the same, similar mahalach, that when a leader of a company is an anav, so number one, his decision-making is better, but number two, the people around him, the employee satisfaction, which is, in business school, one of the most important, one of the topics that they stress the most, is the employee satisfaction certainly is much better when you have a leader who exemplifies anova and humility. And this certainly is seen with Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Adam Mikol Adam, as the Pasuk tells us, Moshe Adam Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be the ultimate Anav, that's why he was able to be the ultimate leader. However, Korach, on the other hand, even though he was very wise, big Talmud Chacham, very, very wealthy, and he had great children, Nachas from his children, Shmuel and Avi came from Korach. Nevertheless, because he was, I guess, he developed an interest in Kavod, he wasn't able to focus on anything else but himself, and therefore he literally destroyed his life. He would have been fine. He was doing very well. He had his money, he had his chachma, not necessarily in that order. He had his Torah, he had everything going for him. But since he wanted kavod, he's literally motzias adam min ha'olam. And I think there's a tremendous Moshe Haskell over here that so often a person wants recognition. It's a natural tendency. A person wants recognition, a person wants to be at the top. But if that's the first of all, if that's the driving force behind a person's actions, it's gonna ruin him, because it doesn't work like that, right? The Mishnah Novus tells us, the more you run after kavod, the more it runs away from you. And it's so true when you think about it. Right, who does a person want to honor? Who does a person want to be around? A person wants to be around somebody who's always giving to others, right? If you mechabit other people, right? Right? I think it says, and who is somebody who's honorable? Anyone who's mechabit others. So you see that if a person exemplifies giving honor to others, then by definition he'll be honored. But if a person seeks it, so he's not going to get it, and he's not going to be able to make proper objective decisions at all. We also see number two point I wanted to make is that the maila of a wise wife. We know that Gemara tells in Sanhedrin and Kuftes on the base that On Ben Pelas was mentioned as one of the people involved in the rebellion of Korach in the opening psukim of the parasha. But yet, later on, we don't see his name. So Gemara Sanhedrin tells us in Daf Kuftes on the base that his wife told him, "Oh, what are you doing? Right now, right? I understand you want to take over Moshe Rabbeinu. And you want to be Korach's second in command. But that's not going to help you, because whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu or Korach, you're still not going to be the leader. So there's no point going." And she sort of convinced him, but he says, "Listen, they're going to come for me. What are you going to do?" She said, "Don't worry," right? And she put him to sleep. And she, because they were Anshei Kodesh, because they were Kulam Kodeshim. So therefore, when they saw, she went ahead and she took her hair covering off. And when they came and they saw her hair uncovered, they quickly ran away. And On's wife saved On's life. And the pasuk is quoted. The pasuk initially says, Perek Yudalad Pasuk Aleph, Chochmas Noshim Bonso Beiso, the wise women build their homes, the Iveles Biodeho Tarsena, and the foolish women, in their hands, they do destroy it. So you see, everything's about a wife. First of all, you have to marry the right wife. A wife has to have Chochma. Chachma doesn't just mean she did well in her SATs. It means that she understands what's important in life. That's, she's able to differentiate between what's really important, what's not important. Certainly, Ruchnius versus Gashmius, and so on and so forth. But the foolish one tears the house down. So I saw a beautiful story that Rav Zilberstein brings down over here, which is somewhat related to this. He brings it down in this, about Chachma's Noshim Vonsa Besa. Well, it happens to be a story about a little girl. I imagine he's referring to the fact that she was wise. The story goes as follows, that Rav Shmuel Salant was the Rav in Yerushalayim, and a young girl came to him because her mother had a question about tarovus, meat and dairy question. And the question was quite complicated. And when this young girl who went to ask the question to the Rav came to the Rav, Rav Shmuel Salant, she became confused and she started to stutter. And Rav Shmuel Salant felt really bad for the girl. And he couldn't understand what the question was. And he says, "My sweet daughter, go home and tell your mother to send an older daughter than you." So the girl left. And a few minutes later, the same girl came back. So Rav Shmuel Salant says, "Why'd you come back? I thought you were going to go get an older girl." She said, "Kein Rebbe. Achshav ani kvar gdola yoter v'gam musugel lahazbir l'rav et ha-sheila. Now I'm bigger. I'm an older girl right now." And the Rav is very happy about her sharpness, that she said, "I'm bigger now." And she was able to ask the question, and the Rav answered the question. So he takes from here a tremendous Musa Haskell. You see that, how many moments did it take for this girl to mature, right? She got a little bit of a, not embarrassed, but a little bit of a, I guess, a lesson from Shmuel Salant, a bigger daughter. And she went, and within a few moments, she decided, "I'm going to be bigger. I'm going to be older and act more mature." So you see from here that how a person could take advantage of every single moment. And he quotes here, Baruch Lobel Zatzal. He was a Talmud of the Ksav Sofer, and he used to have on his watch, he used to have the letters that spell out Yameinu Ketzelover. Our days are like a fleeting shadow. We need to take advantage of every minute. Here you have this girl who had 1 minute to, and in 1 minute she became a more mature girl and was able to ask the question. You see, that is somebody who certainly takes advantage of every moment. And Yameinu Ketzelover, those three words are 12 letters. So every one of the 12 hours had one of those letters. And to remind this person, Baruch Lobel, that every single moment is precious. And you can build on every single moment. And the third thing I want to say is a vart, not necessarily Musadik, but it's quite interesting, that it says in the Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu got up and he went to Dosan v'Aviram. And it's actually quoted from the Sefer Givas Pinchas. I'm not really sure what that Sefer is. But the question is, what does it mean? The Pasuk should have said, he went to Dosan v'Aviram. What's the significance of the word Vayokam? He got up. And also, the language of Vayokam seems to be a language of Ritzicha. It's a language used by Kain and Hevel. The Pasuk says, "Vayi v'yosim v'sod v'yakum Kain el Hevel ochi v'yargeu." And also in describing Ritzicha, "Kei kasher yakum ish al rehu Ritzicha nefesh." You see that there's a connection between the word v'yakum and Ritzicha. And when in reality, it's when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Dustin Vavir, at that point he wasn't killing them. He wasn't going over to kill them. He was trying to actually appease them. So why was it that we use the language of Ritzicha Vayakam when Moshe Rabbeinu was merely going over to Dasan Vavirim? So the Givas Pinchas is an unbelievable thing. He says the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Pezayin or Aleph that there was a tabach, there was a butcher that sinned against Rav, and the butcher didn't come to Rav on Erev Yom Kippur to ask for mechila. So Rav said, "You know what? Fine, I'll go to him and I'll ask him and I'll offer him to ask me for mechila. I'll be mefayis him. I'll try to appease him." So he met Rav Huna, and he said, "And Rav Huna asked, 'Where are you going?' So Rav said, 'I'm going to appease him. I'm going to get him to ask me for mechila. I'm going to be mochel him. So Rav Huna said to him, "You're going to go and give him a gzar din mavis." Okay. That's what he wasn't trying to deter him, discourage him from going, but he said, "You're going to give him a gzar din mavis." So when Rav came to this butcher, so the butcher was chopping the head of an animal. So he picked up his head and he saw Rav and he said to Rav, "Get out of here. I don't want to see you." And while he was cutting the head of the animal, so one of the bones flew out of the head of the animal, hit him, and killed him. So, very sad story. I feel bad that this person, he obviously didn't do the right thing at all. And he wasn't mochel for Rav, and even though Rav came to him to offer to be mochel this butcher. What do you see from here? That the onesh of basically forcing a Talmud Chacham to come to you to appease you for what you did wrong, right? And you have no intentions of asking for forgiveness. That's what caused death. And that's pshat in the pasuk by us, by Dustin Raviram Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayakam Moshe, vayakam Dustin Raviram. What is Vayakam? Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu killed them. Not literally, not intentionally, so to speak, but because Moshe Rabbeinu had to be the one to go over to Dustin Raviram, and they did not ask him for forgiveness, by definition, that is what caused the death of Dustin Raviram. It's an unbelievable verse. It's an unbelievable pshat. Because Moshe had to go to Dasan Aviram and offer to give them mechila, that is what caused them to die. Have a wonderful Shabbos.